Hi, this is Mari Ishima, and you're listening to the J-Pop Exchange with Sean Bird.
Joining us right now on the J-Pop Exchange is Mari Ishima, who was kind enough to take some time out of her busy schedule to speak with us. Hi, Mari. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me today, and Happy New Year, everybody.
What was the transition of moving to the United States like for you? And what are your impressions of the United States?
Transition of moving to the States from Japan wasn't that hard. The reason it wasn't too hard was that I was not in my head. I was kind of spontaneous doing it. Of course, I talked to people around me, including my family members and my staff, but it was almost like I had no choice but moving to the States, so it wasn't hard emotionally. At first, everything was peachy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that living in the United States has influenced you as a musician?
Yes, living in the States has influenced me as a musician because I'm not constantly dealing with the Japanese music scene. I don't consider my music as J-pop. I'm a Japanese person, but I don't live in Japan and I'm not creating music while dealing with other Japanese pop music. I'm here pretty much isolated, creating my own, true own music. I'm at a very unique position as a musician, I think.
Would you mind sharing with us what it was like growing up in Japan?
Well, growing up in Japan was fine. My parents were both pretty much supportive about anything I wanted to do, so that was great. Not so good thing was, it's not that I'm bragging about it, but I was good at almost everything growing up. I played the piano, I ran fast, and I painted pretty well, so there were some people who didn't like me for that. You know, it's a kind of a jealousy issue.
Uh-huh. Did your interest in music begin in your childhood? How did you become interested in music?
My parents are both music lovers. They're not musicians, but they both loved music, and we had a piano, you know, already when I was born, and I started to play piano, like, when I was maybe 3, and I got good at it pretty quick.
And what led you to want to pursue a career in music? How did it begin?
Well, I always knew I was meant to do the music. Okay, I was really good at it. So, in my heart, there was always a message that, Mari, you are gonna be a musician. And actually, one day when I was a 5th grader, I was on the swing. It was getting dark and I was still at the schoolyard by myself swinging. I guess somebody did something mean to me or something. He said something mean to me, or I don't know. I was alone and kind of crying on the swing, and I heard a message that you are going to be a composer. You are going to be a musician. Maybe that message was always in my heart. It's not like some, like, God figure told me suddenly from the sky, but that kind of, like, the sensational moment came when I was a 5th grader.
Interesting. Can you give us some insight into your songwriting process?
I never forced myself to write anything. It always comes to me. In my new album, Echo, there's a song called Twinkles.
Yes, we just heard that.
That happened while I was taking a walk around the block, and the whole song just came to me while I was walking. So I really never forced myself to write, including the arrangement parts too. Like, I hear those notes, so I guess I can say I'm pretty blessed. Yes.
Yes. I do know, for example, some others have said that it doesn't always come to them. Even if it does sometimes, it doesn't always come to them. Thank you for sharing that with us. Who are your musical influences? What music do you like to listen to?
There are so many artists that I liked since I was a child. But I can say that clearly. I listen to the UK music scene the most.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a sponge, you know, like when I was a junior high school student, my favorite, the biggest influence was the band Queen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I guess because I was, you know, doing the classical music also and writing songs at the same time, I think that there was something in common between me and Freddie Mercury. Also, 70s Elton John. Who else? Paul McCartney and Wings. Let's see. Well, if I pick one American band, I choose Hall & Oates in the 70s. And let's see. Then later, I listened to Supertramp, 10cc, of course U2,
mm-hmm.
And even after I debuted, I kept listening to the British music, including Howard Jones, and I actually met and interviewed him, and Tears for Fears, I actually met and interviewed them too, and who else? The Waterboys, and Echo and the Bunnymen. Yeah. Now, I have a few very favorite bands. Somehow I got into the Oasis since last year. Dig Out Your Soul is like one of my very favorite albums of all time. It's kind of weird because I guess Oasis fans, they all like the classics, like, you know, their older albums, but I got into them last year. Of course, I like their classics too. The Killers, I like. I couldn't believe that they were from Las Vegas. So they were the UK people at first. And the Kings of Leon, I guess. They are one of my very favorite American bands, I have to say. And Maroon 5. The reason I can't say Kings of Leon is my very favorite because then I'll feel bad for Maroon 5 because I'm very, very loyal to Maroon 5. Yes.
Oh, yes, I like them too.
So, there. You know, Oasis, The Killers, and Maroon 5, The Kings of Leon, and of course you too. I started to get into U2 again recently, and who else? Oh, MGMT. I like MGMT. Even though their music is almost like Prince. But for some people, MGMT's music is completely brand new, so sometimes I feel like amused by that. Like, you know, the music, people recycle music, so.
I understand that you voiced the role of Lin Minmay in the original Japanese version of Super Dimension Fortress Macross, which aired in 1982. And you recently voiced the same character in the English dubbed version. That in itself is very interesting. But what makes it even more fascinating is that you are reportedly the only person to have accomplished this, providing the voice for both the original Japanese version and the English language version. Please tell us more about this experience and how it came about. What was it like revisiting the character 2 decades later? How did the creative process of voicing Lin Minmay in the Japanese production versus voicing the character in the English language version compare?
Yeah, this Minmay thing. Yes, I voiced this character, one and only character, in 1982. It was for the TV series called Macross, and I never aimed to be an actress or voice actor. This opportunity came because I was signed to JVC Victor Japan. My demo tape was picked up by them, and I just signed with them as a singer-songwriter, and JVC was going to release the whole this Macross soundtrack series, and they were looking for someone who could sing and act, okay? And I happened to be in the record company building while they were like hectic looking for some other people who could come to the audition. And the day after I was at the building was the last audition for this Minmay part, and they kind of begged me to go there. So I did. I went there, and there was a piano in the studio, so I sang my original songs with the piano as usual. And a week later, I received a phone call, and, you know, my record company A&R told me that you are the one. And of course, I was young and naive, and of course, if you win an audition, you're happy, no matter what. So I was like, yay! But I never expected that I was going to be typecast for this role forever, as long as I live. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen to your life, you know? Somebody asked me, if you can redo your life, are you going to do Minmay again? Actually, you know, the person who asked me that question was from this company, ADV, who released the English version of the TV series. I actually reprised the role for that, and he asked me if I'll do it again, the same life. At that time, I said, yeah, why not? But you are not gonna repeat the same life again anyway, so that question doesn't work, you know, the truth is. But I think if I get the same opportunity, the same life, like almost like a parallel universe, I don't think I would do it. Because I truly want to be recognized as a musician. That's who I am, you know. It's like more like Minmay thing came as an accident. I mean, there's no accident in life. That's what people tell me. And I am sure I was meant to play Minmay in this lifetime. So it was fate. But if, you know, the universe gives me another chance to make a choice, then I don't think I'm gonna do it, because I truly wanna do, I mean, I'm doing the music, but I wanna be recognized fairly as a musician. So anyway, in 2006, this company called ADV emailed me and asked me if I wanna reprise the role, and, you know, like, sometimes you have to work. And of course, I couldn't think of someone else, you know, doing Minmay's voice. I've always promised to her that I was going to take care of her. Even, you know, during the time that I didn't even want to think about her. The truth is deep inside of my heart. I cared about her, even though she's not a real person, but she's like, you know, my sister. It was much harder than the original time, because in 1982, we didn't have much, like, picture to voice to. The pictures were so always late, so we just needed to act, like, we just needed to record our lines. But in 2006, Of course, they had to complete each episode, so I had to match the, you know, the mouth movement of the animation, each episode, each movement. And the director was an American person who grew up watching Macross and Robotech, so he had this very strong belief or strong his own thought that how anime should be or how Japanese animation should be. So it's like I was directed by a huge, you know, Macross fan, and that can be difficult, you know. I somehow had to kind of fight it, like, quietly, like, to protect Mime. Yes, we've been through a lot, you know, together, me and Mime, but I am the only one who knows her truly and who can protect her truly. So it was tough, and of course all the dialogues were in English, and I can speak English, but like they kept rewriting the dialogues right in front of me, and you know, like all the battle conversation and all the like you know, stuff that I have never said in my life in English or Japanese, you know. So the newer version was harder to finish, I admit.
Very interesting insights. I often heard that the best approach when it comes to voice direction or direction is to give keynotes at the beginning and then let the performers do their thing. Please, tell us about your latest album, Echo, how it came about, your inspirations and ideas behind the album.
My latest album, Echo, that I'm really proud of, it's my 21st original studio recording album, and the theme of this album is unrequited love. Yes, I have experienced a few unrequited love situations, and I'm sure I'm not the only one who experienced that in this world. Okay, I think unrequited means many things. It doesn't only mean that someone is married, one is married and one's not, so we can't be together. That's unrequited love, but even between two people who like each other or who are married, sometimes, you know, like the heart temperature is different between two people. You know, one misses the other, but then the other one doesn't miss her too much. You know, while she is crying, missing him, he can be eating a hot dog at the baseball stadium. But the point is this, I don't compromise my love. I don't compromise my heart. If I love someone, I don't date somebody else that I like so-so. If I love someone very strongly, I would rather be single and thinking about that person forever. I guess it's a concept album, you know? Like, the title song Echo is completely influenced by this Greek mythology, Echo and Narcissus. It's like, it's almost like that story is almost like my life, you know? It's gonna be too long, so I'm not gonna explain everything, but, you know, my heart has been broken. And anyway, so that Greek mythology made me think about the artwork, and I found this artist in Seattle who painted my artwork. What else? This album. Yeah. I always do, but I recorded almost like 99% of the album by myself also. I didn't mix the album, but I recorded everything at my place. And it's a pop album, but I think it's a fusion of the classical music and rock music and pop music. I don't think I can categorize my album into any like genre category. But if I submit this record to some music awards or something, I guess it's called pop music, pop album. To me, it's a beautiful concept album, so I hope you guys can enjoy. And I think only one song is in Japanese and everything else is in English, and there are a couple of like instrumental tracks too, and I collaborated with Van Dyke Parks, who's a legend, musical legend, on one song too.
How can fans contact you to learn more about your music?
Well, people can contact me through my website, www.marimusic.com, Mari, M-A-R-I, music.com, and there's a link to my email address, so you can email me, and I have my Facebook, I have my MySpace page, so if you go to my website, there are links to those pages also, so please come visit me.
In conclusion, is there anything else you'd like to mention that we haven't discussed thus far?
Well, I just want you guys to support my music. Really. It's easy to talk about, like, you know, like, whoa, I used to like your work in 1980, blah, blah, or, you know, people always write me about that. But the thing I want is the support on my music. I want you to get my album. I don't need any nostalgia or anything, you know. I'm still like alive and well, and I don't live in the past. I don't really need to hear, you know, any past stories. And many people tell me I was like their childhood idol. I don't want to be your childhood idol. I want to be your idol now. So please focus on now and support me. That's my message.
Thank you again, Mari, for taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us.
Thank you so much. Bye.